You're on it.
Hey.
Oh, then we can start with tour time.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. He was very good. He's leading the NFL in most categories.
Yeah, I think he would be. Yeah.
He's actually looked very good.
All right. Well, let's get stuck into it, hey?
Yep.
Wherever you listen throughout the world, it's football time.
All right, welcome back to the Gridiron, guys. Another week down, a huge week actually of NFL, wasn't it? It was crazy. Plenty of scores, plenty of comebacks, and here to run through it all with you, as always, is Cam. How are you going this week, Cam?
Yeah, well, thanks, mate. We had to push this one back. We had a big celebration today, public holiday for our dear Queen Lizzie. You celebrated hard last night and paid your respects.
Rest in peace. Yeah, I think probably one of the, well, it's a pro and a con for going back to uni is uni parties are back in my life.
Yeah.
And at the ripe old age of 27, I certainly, I don't know, I don't thrive as much as I used to, especially the day after. But
yeah, really wound back the clock last night, but not so much today. The body's just hissing.
Oh, man, it was a shocker. But thank God for the public holiday and a day in bed watching through Game of Thrones. So that's keeping me going.
I'm perfect.
But no, looking forward over a week two, there was a huge week. I suppose, yeah, probably talking about it. Starting off with the Chargers and the Chiefs, hey, that was crazy, wasn't it? A good way to start the week.
Yeah, it probably wasn't the way we anticipated the game going. We expected huge power, high offense, high scoring. Kind of didn't play out that way for a long period. I think, obviously, we saw the injury to Justin Herbert, which could leave him out for a little while. Keenan Allen wasn't playing, so there's a big loss for them. Chiefs look really good still. Chargers had moments in that game where I thought they were going to come back and take this. They obviously threw the picks, 99-yard pick six, which really turned the tide. So they were kind of chasing tails from there, but wasn't the game we anticipated it to be.
That hurt them, didn't it? I think that was a big turning point. The rib injury was a big turning point as well. You could see there was a play where he looked to take the ball and run with it, but you could just tell he was just hurting, wasn't he?
Yeah, oh, massively, absolutely. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, especially for our fantasy. We're going to have to play old mate Kirk Cousins. However, he doesn't play. Apparently, people reckon he has astigmatism in his eye because the like late night games just really stink, so he's due a bounce back.
Oh, is that why he's thrown absolutely everywhere but to his receivers?
Apparently, his record in primetime games is absolutely horrific, and people reckon he's got something to do with his eyesight. There has to be. But, yeah, back to Herbert, that hurts our fantasy, even though we're fucking clinical in that, so that doesn't matter.
Oh, my God, so good. I think probably the interesting thing about Herbert is this is – it's been a bit in the news, but this is the same doctor that's treating him for this rib injury that caused the issue with Tyrod Taylor's last rib injury. And Tyrod's currently suing him, I believe.
Perfect.
So I don't know if that bodes – well, you know, hopefully he learns from mistake, I suppose, but like
absolutely, yeah, you'd want to hope so. That's doesn't really look good for him.
No, it doesn't bode well. So we will see. But they are talking about he is questionable whether he plays. But I don't know. Otherwise, we're just going to have to dip into the waiver wire. But, I mean, we can play without a player. Like, we pretty much top scored our league this week in fantasy without a player again. J.K. Dobbins not playing. But we are just absolutely too good at this game.
Yeah, we're just carving up. We're just playing, giving everyone else an even chance by playing a few less players. Bucks D was just a phenomenal pick by you. They were lights out. We'll talk about them later. But, yeah, look, Chiefs, Chargers, Chiefs still take ascendancy in the AFC West. Looking hard to beat at this point in time. The others are flailing, for lack of a better term, at the moment. They're just treading water through week two. So
we'll talk about fuck me dead. You want to talk about treading water? The fucking Denver Broncos. I don't know. No, let's not throw in the white towel yet, but holy shit. Russell Wilson, something is going on there. Like, it's just, again, it was such another clunky game, wasn't it? Like, and what do we get? One touchdown through the whole game, and it was to, like, some second or third ranked tight end again. Like, he's got to start throwing to our wide receivers, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, you've actually got, like, a good trio of wide receivers, and you don't seem to use them as much. Now, Bodes, this poses the question, is Russell a bit washed?
Well, like, we know last year he wasn't at his best, and that was fine. But, like, we didn't realize he would degenerate this quickly. Like, is it Or has he just gotten that used? Like, he was just so comfortable with Pete Carroll's offense. Now he's like with a different offense, and he's just forgotten how to learn a new offense or something like that. Yeah. Like, because you can see, like, at the play line, they're horrific. We're one of the worst teams for penalties as well. I think we gave up another over 100 yards in penalties. So we're the absolute kings of the penalty. Like, it's mayhem out there. You can't get any consistency, especially when they let the clock wind down. They're just not being able to do any pre-snap stuff. But thankfully, the defense is still running the show, essentially, which is same old story, isn't it?
Yeah, business as usual, really, for you guys. But, yeah, look, he's getting paid a lot of money to do a not a lot. Now it's week 2. Can't really write him off yet, but he's currently looking a little bit washed at the moment.
Oh, massively. I think only hit, what was it, like 4 out of his first 15 or something like that. Like, it's
ridiculous. Oh, it was something horrible. I remember pulling up the stats as we were watching, and yeah, he was absolutely battling. So look, you got away with one there. Texans actually surprisingly don't look that bad. I think their defense must be pretty decent. I haven't actually sat down and watched them yet. And Davis is doing what we expected him to do. He's not too bad, but they're not going to win a huge amount of games, but they're competitive.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's all you can ask for them, essentially, with this sort of lineup. I suppose with Davis and Brandon Cooks running the offense, they won't go too bad. And Damian Pierce has been quite good, hasn't he? Like, coming through. He's been a run through. And, you know, they could surprise some people with their shitty-looking division at the moment. They're just, it's a shocking shit show out there, isn't it?
Oh, horrible, 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 horrible. So, yeah, look, the South, we'll talk about later, absolutely stinks. But, yeah, look, not looking good for your Broncos through 2 weeks. It's not flashy, it's not fantastic, but they've still got a win on the board. So look, they could pick up a slack. There is promise in that team. There is capable players in that team. So it's not all doom and gloom for you yet.
Yeah. Is it doom and gloom for you guys yet? Giving away a lead to Tua? No.
Oh, no. Look, yeah, it was frustrating for sure. I woke up, young fella woke me up early in the morning. I looked 28-7. I thought, fuck, we're home here. 28-7, that's a fantastic start. And I mean, I think it's not very often that we talk about the Ravens and we talk about them having shit run game and terrible defense. That second half, especially, like, I think there was a period there in the last quarter where they scored 21 points in like 6 minutes or so. Now, there was a catalyst to that, to me, is we had our, like, Marlon Humphrey was off the field for all of those series. And they're just bad reads. Kyle Hamilton, some really shocking reads there. So he's got a lot to learn there. And we've got rookies playing on probably the best wide receiver duo in the league, I would say. Like, Waddle and Tyreek are looking absolutely fantastic. But, I mean, playing behind that line is really handy for him. Their run game wasn't fantastic. They didn't actually do a whole lot. Our run game was even worse, which is, I guess, for us is where we potentially struggled. I mean, we're kings of running the clock down. We score some points. We just burn the clock like it's going out of fashion. We can't get a first down. We're not going to run the clock down. They had ample time to just go back and just wind it up. So, look, Lamar is getting let down. I think he's playing fantastically. I think he's the shining light. He always has been the shining light. But
no, he had a great game, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, correct. And our wide receivers, which is meant to be our weakest position, is going all right.
Oh, I'm loving Bateman. Like, Bateman is killing it at the moment. Andrews is obviously doing his job as well.
Yep.
Even Isaiah Likely has come through. He's been quite a good pickup, hasn't he?
He was, yeah. First week he had a few drops and then everyone, because he had a ripper preseason. And then this week he showed what he can do. So, look, we're capable on offense. Once we get running back, I hope we improve our lines. Not fantastic. But, yeah, defense, our depth in defense is fucking horrible. And I think that's going to be our downfall. Normally corners is such a strong suit, but the secondary is battling.
Yeah, well, and I mean, it's, as you said before, it's just hard. Those guys are going to be hard to contain for anyone. Waddle, he's killing it. You've got Tyreek as well, who they just connected with Tua. You can see that they've just – he's picked up where he's left off. I think everyone was worried that Tyreek wasn't going to be any good without Mahomes. And I think it's clear to see that if you put any quarterback with Tyreek, most quarterbacks with Tyreek, he will go well.
I think that's a very fair statement. Now, like, I guess that poses the question, if he continues to play like that, does that make the Dolphins a top three team in the AFC? If he continues on that same sort of trend and playing to the roughly the same, are they a top three in the AFC?
I don't see why not. I mean, you've got to look at all the other teams there. Obviously, like, Bills and Chiefs are your top two. Yep. You maybe throw in the Chargers. But, like, outside of that, like, obviously we've seen Steelers weren't that good this week. The Bengals are in all sorts, so let's not even worry about them at the moment. Raiders keep giving up leads, so that's up to them. You know, we've just mentioned the AFC South is just cooked in its own right. So, like, I think they would certainly sit in the top three, you know, top four, top five easily. But top three, I think they could probably squeeze their way in. Yeah, slide past the Chargers probably.
Absolutely. Look, if they continue to play like that. Now, the defense did let up a lot of points. Now, that is a worry for teams going forward. Like, Ravens are decent and offensively very good. 35 points isn't fantastic to give up, but, credit to them. That they were phenomenal in that. It was just frustrating to watch. We just couldn't man a target. We just blew that much coverage. It was just horrible to watch. But, look, it was a fantastic comeback for them.
Yeah, well, and thank God, speaking of another comeback, the Browns let one in as well. So that helps for your division. And I think this really has flashbacks of the old what was his name? He always used to kneel down before instead of getting the touchdown. I can't remember him. Played for the Rams. Why have I forgotten his name?
Todd Gurley?
Yeah, that's right, Todd Gurley.
Yeah, yeah.
He would be rolling in his sleep watching Chubb run over for that touchdown, wouldn't he?
Oh, 100%. Like, Chubb was fantastic for our fantasy and he really killed it. Like, looking like the top running back at the moment. Mm. But, you think in your mind scoring the touchdown is the right thing to do. But, yeah, in that moment for the clock management, take that knee, probably get the win. Now, as we just said, I mean, the Ravens may not have played because the rest of the AFC North took an L. So that kind of just wipes out week two. It was kind of irrelevant. But, yeah, Browns, fuck me. Joe Flacco. Someone on the sideline pressed the Joe Flacco elite button from 2012, like in those last few minutes, because he was just dialing it up. Garrett Wilson looks like a star.
Yeah.
Our boy Max Mitchell, another fantastic game. Like, he's really putting a presence in there at tackle, and I think he's doing a phenomenal job.
Well, and it just seems like the Jets are just going to chug along, aren't they? Like, they're not going to do much, but even with Smoke and Joe, he might keep Zach Wilson out of a job here. You know, four tutties and that. Killed it.
Yeah, fantastic. Played really fantastically. Giving up 30 points, again, isn't ideal, but that's things you can work on, I suppose. Like, those aren't glaring issues early in the season. You can, like the Ravens, you can work on blowing coverages. I think that's not a crucial area in your game. You can fix blowing coverages. It's not like a glaring need that you can't meet.
Plus, if you can just score more points than the other team, that's a W. Who cares?
Well, that's right. Yeah,
defense is for losers.
Oh, look, I think that slate of games was just ridiculous. The amount of comebacks, the amount of like upsets was so good. Like, the season so far, really, to me, has actually been fantastic.
Yeah, well, two games in, they're looking better than they are already last year. And speaking of another tight game or rivalry, Tampa Bay versus New Orleans. Now, for some reason, no matter where either team is, tempers seem to flare in this matchup, doesn't it? Every year.
Yeah, Lattimore Evans has really stuck out for me in the last few years. Now, Bucks just seem to, I mean, this is the first time they've beaten it since, 2018, especially with Brady.
It's like seven in a row or something, they've stopped.
Yeah. They've just got nothing on them, and it's weird. Like, I don't know, like, Saints just seem to have the wood on them, but this year, obviously, Bucks got home. Bucks now will be without Mike Evans for the next game. They're obviously missing Chris Godwin, so their wide receiver core is looking very reminiscent of some old has-beens almost, like Julio Jones, Cole Beasley, and a few others.
Yeah, so I mean, looking at it, is it really that bad? Like, I mean, it's old guys, but like when you're talking about depth and veteran guys that you could pick up, it's actually quite a decent handful of guys that you want running around.
Oh, I'd take any one of those guys in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and if they start getting Leonard Fournette rolling again, like, he hasn't done heaps, but he's certainly been a part of the job. You get him running again, and it's like nothing ever changed really for these guys. So they're showing up, probably not as crazy as they were last year or the year before, to be honest, but I think they're still doing their job, and they're 2-0 right now, sitting pretty.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what the defense scored fantastically in fantasy. They had that many turnovers, that many sacks. It was just freaking wild. So, yeah, look, I think if Brady's struggling, it doesn't really matter because that defense is unbelievable.
Yeah, we love that. We keep that rolling, Probably another disappointing game as well would be the Colts. Colts look like shit at the moment, don't they? This is just awful. Like, they got shut out by the Jags, and it's just ridiculous. Like, because obviously this happened as well last year. The Jags got over the top of the Colts to stop them from getting in the playoffs. They've just got their number recently, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, the Colts just have started horrendously. We expected bigger things from them. We expected them to take the South, which they could do. The South is really just potluck at the moment. They could really find their groove. Ryan, watching him, I know there's three picks in there, but there's also some open drop balls in the end zone. Like, Alex Pierce had a horrible drop. Like, it just makes poor Matt Ryan look really bad. Like, that is just a give me. You need to score those points. You need to get those touchdowns. They can't rely all on Jonathan Taylor this year. Now, look, if they really struggle, and since Andrew Luck, they've just gone with veterans. Like, they've gone with guys that are already in the league. They really haven't been trying to put any stock into the draft and hope there's someone that comes through. Like, do you think it is time they do look to the draft for a quarterback?
Potentially. I suppose it's always about where you sort of fall. Like, I mean, they had a crack last year and they were close, so they sort of pushed themselves out of a good draft position, really. But, I mean, if this keeps going, yeah, maybe you drop in Sam Ehlinger towards the end of the year and just sort of wait to see what comes off the other end. I don't know how long they've even signed Matt Ryan to. Is it a long year or a couple of years?
Oh, look, I'm not actually 100% sure. You'd think maybe at least two.
I know they paid a bit for Wentz, and that's why they were pretty happy to move him on, because they were like, we might have overreached here a little bit, and they might have overreached again.
Oh, massively. I think since Luck's gone, their luck has been horrendous with the quarterback situation. Now, looking on the other side of the coin, Jaguars.
Oh, what do we love think? Love that. It's just good to see them. I mean, it's like looking at the Lions and the Jags. You just kind of want these, you know, the little guys to get a win every now and again, isn't it? It's fun to watch them go. T-Law played all right. You know, Christian Kirk, he came away with a couple as well. So he's clearly showing why he's the best paid wide receiver in the league.
No, that's right. Like, we balked it a lot. Like, they spent a lot of money in the offseason. We balked at it and we laughed and we said, geez, you've really blown the market with Christian Kirk. But look, it's paid out. Like, it doesn't matter.
If you get the W, you get the W. What's the matter at the end of the day? Yeah.
Correct. They've spent money in the right places for them. On the outside looking in, it didn't look like the right moves, but they have spent money. I know it's early in the season, but like, they've improved and Lawrence is looking better. Yeah. Etienne he's starting to pick it up, but Robinson's also looking very good again. We really like James Robinson here. Devin Lloyd is one that they've picked up as a rookie that I really like, and I think that's a phenomenal pickup for them.
Yeah, and then finishing up, we had a couple games on the Tuesday as well. It was ridiculous watching the Bills go to work. They're just fucked, aren't they? Like, there's nothing else you can say. I think Titans' run is done. Look, and I think probably one thing that I didn't think was going to happen, but Malik Willis got put in quite early, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was in very early. Now, we talked about Tannehill being, like, they making him look good. Tannehill's really mediocre.
Mm.
And I thought the Titans were a very poor one seed last year. But, I mean, look, the AFC South being as shit as it is, they're still there. They can still make playoffs at this point. But, yeah, I don't rate them at all.
Yeah, I mean, and they just got cooked by Diggs. Like, he was ridiculous at it again. They didn't even rush that much either. It was just all in the air.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Diggs is just having a phenomenal season. Josh Allen's unbelievable.
Mm.
Bills favorites right now?
Easily, yep. Number one, yep.
I don't think I think it's really hard to look past them at this point in time. So, yeah, Bills would look very good as we go through the season.
And then tying it off, it was the Philly game, who just absolutely torched Minnesota. I mean, you mentioned lazy eye Cousins, but it was all the Jalen Hurts party. I love what he's doing at the moment. Like, he was tossing them out as well. Like, he was running a bit as well, which you were used to. But I really thought what he was doing in the air was really good, and it was just so much fun to watch.
Oh, look, they talk about him. He may not be the future in that franchise, but currently he's making a pretty good case for that. Now, do you consider him currently a top 8, top 10 quarterback right now?
Ooh, that's a tough one. He might just be on the outside looking into me, to be honest. But, I mean, yeah, the way the season sort of started, I reckon he could sit in top 10, maybe number 9.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, look, I don't think with how he's playing, I don't see why he couldn't be. He was just hitting passes, like really hitting those passes.
Yeah.
Against the Vikings, who aren't a bad defense for me. They kept Green Bay pretty low scoring. So, look, Philly are firing on all cylinders, and that's the glaring hole that they had is quarterback. That was the question mark before the season, and now I know Stephen was – he was a big naysayer, and a lot of them still are. Philly are a very harsh fan base. We like him. I think the way that the games are going at the moment, and we're looking at who are the top quarterbacks in the league, it's a new age. You got – Lamar, you've got Kyler, you've got Jalen Hurts, you've got Tua's there as well. Like, guys who are at the top at the moment, I know you've still got your passing guys like Mahomes, Herbert, Allen, but there is not a changing of the guard, but these guys are still playing in that league.
I wouldn't even say that, like, some of the top guys, like even like Mahomes and Allen, they are quite, like, they're not rush heavy, but they do rush a lot as well. So, like, I think this is like a bit of the changing of the guard. Even like the better guys can actually rush. Like Josh Allen, one of the things that he can do is make those hard carries a lot of the time. And that's why people, you know, back him in on those third downs. So I think it is really changing the guard you know, those guys that you did see, like the Kaepernicks and stuff, they weren't just sort of once every now and again. It's actually like half of the league can do this and do it well.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, if you can find a guy that's an athlete that can run and work on that passing, hit that passing, like Lamar's starting to find targets. Jalen Hurts is starting to hit these targets. Oh, his God, arm yeah. is nice. He's not underthrowing. He's not overthrowing. Tua's still doing a little bit of that, I find. Kyler's just so agile and ridiculous. Like the game, the turnovers, not turnovers, like the comeback that they created through him was unbelievable.
Well, he sat in the pocket for about 20 seconds. Like that's ridiculous. No other quarterback I think in the league could do that. Like, and it was just wild how he just kept evading and he looked like they just look like they have so much more time and they're more comfortable on the move and things like that. So they don't generate the throw power, but if they can get away and still make 20, maybe 30 yards max, I mean, it's not like anyone's bombing it anyway. So I think that's a good way to play.
Oh, it's an absolutely fantastic way to play, and I'm loving that we're doing it. Like, even Russell's still capable of doing it, but as we talked about before, like, is he sort of losing a bit of father time's getting up to him?
Well, he's just got to stop getting invited to the penalty parties, for Christ's sake. Like,
yeah, that's a massive frustration. But, yeah, look, week two delivered. We loved it. I think we've got some player awards for the week coming up.
Oh, absolutely delicious. Speaking of, starting off with Rookie of the Week, my rookie is Garrett Wilson. Now, he was the number 10 pick out of Ohio State, went to New York Jets. We didn't think he would start off so great because, obviously, the lack of quarterback is out there. But, to be honest, he was huge in his comeback win. He had 102 yards and 2 touchdowns, including the game winner, which was just an outstanding day from him.
Oh, yeah, he's been fantastic. Now, we looked at him and Olave coming out of Ohio State, and we obviously we were high on Olave, which we still are, but it's not really shown out yet. He hasn't hit his straps. But, yeah, Garrett Wilson, just phenomenal. Those 2 touchdown catches were fantastic, and the game winner, oh, man, just in stride. Flacco just absolutely pinpoint, but, yeah, the man is on fire at the moment.
Oh, Smoke and Joe are dialing it up like the old days. how about you? What have you got for Rookie of the Week?
I have gone Aiden Hutchinson. Now, he obviously, we talked about him playing with a chip on his shoulder. And look, I like the Lions. I've always been a big fan of the Lions and how they go about things. They've found themselves just the beast, and they fell to him at number 2. I know it's weird saying someone fell to you at number 2 because you're obviously going to get a good pick. And they've got another guy that I really like that Malcolm Rodriguez or something like that. He was like a 6th-round pick and just absolutely killing it. But yeah. Aiden Hutchinson, 3 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 5 solo tackles, another assisted tackle. He was just a man possessed, and I think he's just going to be an absolute danger to all quarterbacks going throughout the league. Like, Lions defense is on the rise. Offense is in the same picture, as we'll talk about a guy in a minute. But, look, Hutch is doing a good job.
Yeah, we love that. He's still number 1 in our hearts, Hutchy. He's still number 1.
Yeah, correct. That's the real number 1.
All right, and then to Offensive Player of the Week, I have got Tua Tagovailoa. Like, there was no way I could go past this guy. 36 of 50, 469 yards, and 6 tutties. He did have the 2 interceptions as well, but holy shit, he led that comeback. We talked about it as well. He was just throwing darts all over to our 2 boys, and he let Jalen Waddle waddle. Like, I love that. That's gritty. Get out of here. Let's bring back the waddle.
Oh, it's fantastic. Now, yeah, it's frustrating that happened against my boys, but Two is proving people wrong, and we love that. We love guys that just go out there and sort of make people look like fools for talking about how shit they are or they're not good enough. Like, I think Tua has always had that slander on him, and the left hand, it doesn't look like he can throw.
Yeah.
But, look, delivered this week when they really needed him to. And, like, yeah, he threw those picks, and I thought we probably could have sealed the game. There was one moment where Marcus Williams dropped an intercept. It would have been his 3rd for the game. That could have turned the tide right there, and that's another pick that he could have potentially thrown and got a little bit lucky, but made the throws when it counted and didn't underthrow. Those guys are wide open, big bomb passes, and look, you'd hope most NFL quarterbacks could hit that. If someone's that open in the NFL, you would hope that most people would hit him, and he did, and they got the win, so like, I think that's a fair one.
Got to make him pay. All right, who have you got for the offense?
Now, we talk about how much I love the Lions and I can't go away from them. And he's another one of our fantasy stars. We always love picking our fantasy guys. Now, I've gone the sun god, Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's been unbelievable. His last 8 games of the year, and then I think the game starting this season, like, he's had like 8-plus catches, 100-plus yards, and a touchdown in each of those games. So this week he had 9 receptions, 116 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Man, this guy is fucking unbelievable. And 2 rushes for 68 yards, 1 of 58 yards. Dude, the guy is just an animal.
Multi-purpose.
Absolutely. Like, I don't know who the other wide receivers were in last year's draft class. Now, I know Devonta Smith was one. Mm. Could you say that Amon-Ra St. Brown is potentially the best one out of that class?
Yeah, easy. He's killed it lately. And especially, like, with in the team that he's got.
Chase is the only other one that's got a question mark, I suppose. Yeah, Chase is very good in his rookie season. Yeah, okay,
Chase is pretty good.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Chase is fantastic. And Amon-Ra is making that, like, I guess Chase had the name. He's lived up to the name. Now, look, with Jared Goff and the Lions, St. Brown is doing a fantastic job and we love him.
Killing it. And then moving on to our defense, I've had to go, couldn't go past big play Slay. He was phenomenal. He was all over. He was all over Jefferson, like white on rice. It was ridiculous. He had 5 pass defense in the end, 2 interceptions. And against JJ, he had, Justin Jefferson had 6 targets. He only allowed 1 catch. And he basically kept into a 0 pass rating. And for some guy like Justin Jefferson, especially after the week he had last week, Slay was all over him. It was just ridiculous what he had dialed up for him.
Oh, look, Slay was just unbelievable. Now, I was going to go Slay. You've gone Slay, so that's totally fine. Look, I was tempted between either Jamal Dean from the Bucks or Marcus Williams, and I think Marcus Williams is it for me. He's leading the leagues in interceptions at the moment. He's been fantastic. A worthwhile buy for us. Now, if we can work out the rest of the secondary, which we should, that'll stick. But Marcus Williams has been fantastic. He could have had more. I think he dropped maybe 2 tougher ones on the weekend. So, yeah, he's leading the league at 3 intercepts, and I really love him.
Huge on him. So now going back to our stonks division, we're going back to the board. Who have you got that's going, stonks are going up this week? Who's delivered? Who's on the way up, man? Who are you buying?
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm looking at BDF this week, the Bucks defense. Now, not just fantasy, but just in general, like these guys were fucking absolutely insane. Did I see multiple intercepts, multiple sacks, multiple fumble or forced fumbles? Pick sixes, well, you name it. These guys did it against the Saints. They're just freaking, I don't even know how to explain it. These guys just played absolutely lights out. And well, I mean, how many times did they sack? 6 sacks. Crazy. They're just crazy numbers that they're putting up, and they're keeping Brady and the offense in the game. Like, and I think it's hard for me to go past buying them now because we bought them early. We got them at the start of the season. If you're playing fantasy, buy Bucks defense, trade for the Bucks defense, get them when you can.
Get on them. They're going good. For me, I'm buying shares in Pornstar Jimmy. He came in. Trey Lance, another big news. Unfortunately, out for the season with an ankle injury. Now, the 49ers keeping Jimmy and restructuring his contract is going to look like an absolute masterstroke between the two of them. He's happy. They're happy. I think he basically gets – I'm pretty sure his contract is all bonuses, and because he's going to play this year, he's going to get paid, isn't he?
That's right, yeah. Oh, it's worked out fantastically for him. If he plays a certain amount of percentage of snaps in a game, then he just gets these bonuses all throughout the year, and I think it calculates to a couple of million, and he's got that in the bag. Like, unless he gets injured, lo and behold, man's going to get paid, and he's going to do himself favors. Look, San Fran will make the playoffs, I reckon, like, with him. I think they'll be fine. He's capable. They're not going to win it. I think we know that. I think Jimmy's not going to take a team to the title, but he'll get him to the playoffs. So,
look,
unfortunate for Trey Lance. We wanted to see, and I think we talked about in our preview for the season how quickly he's going to be on the hot seat, and unfortunately this isn't the way we wanted it to happen.
No, it's tough for him, and I suppose because of the way that he did start wasn't great. Like, last week wasn't the best game. It was in poor conditions, and then coming through, he only got away 3 snaps anyway, so... it was a bit tough to see that, but obviously Jimmy came in and he just tore through Seattle. Like, we had absolute trouble with them last week, but he showed that, you know, they are beatable and they are actually not that good a team this year.
No, they're absolutely not.
All right. What stonks are you selling this week? For me, I'm looking at the AFC South. You look at that whole division, it's an absolute shit show at the moment. There's been one win, which was obviously the Jags over the Colts. But Titans at 0-2, Houston and Indianapolis both have a loss and a draw between themselves. Like, and you just look at their games as well. They're not scoring many points. They're not looking like doing anything at all.
No. Oh, the South is an absolute mess. We're seeing it. Like, we like what we see from the Jags, and we're not expecting them for the Jags. The Texans, we like what they're doing in matches. Not pretty, but they're in games. They're in games to the gritty end. Now, look... who would you take winning it at this point in time, looking at what we've seen and what the team's rosters have? I know there's teams with low wins, but looking at who do you think still takes it?
My God, I mean, I got to see the Colts bouncing back. There's no way you can hold those guys down. Like, JT, they held down this week, but think long term. And a guy like Matty Ryan, he's just, I don't know, you just know these veterans, they know how to bounce back. Otherwise, his career is done. You know, this is his life on the line. So you're hoping that he's going to bounce back. I just think the Colts overall. Jags, I like what they're doing, but I don't think their youth is going to get them through all the way. Tennessee, I think, are dead in the water. And Houston, just not going to do enough either.
Yeah, no, I think that's completely fair.
Who are you selling this week?
Now, look, I was going to go the Colts, and I think we've already smashed the Colts enough. I've kind of changed my mind, and I've stuck to what I did first week. Now, we talked about Bengals O-line week one. Bengals O-line, fucking horrible again, but I'm going to pick Joe Burrow. Now, I watched a video this week, and Burrow is actually pressured on, I believe, around in the 30-something percent of the time. Mm. Now, that only equates to, I believe, I think it's about 16th, 17th in the league, the most pressure rates.
Yeah.
But he turns those pressure rates into sacks the most in the league. Wow. So I don't know if it's what he's doing. Like his line, yeah, his line isn't fantastic, but they're middle of the road. They're pretty average in terms of what they're allowing on pressures. He just converts those pressures into, like, gets converted into sacks way more often than anyone else. Now, I can't think, like, I don't know what the percentage is and I don't want the numbers are, but he just gets sacked at a phenomenal rate. Now, right now, how many quarterbacks would you take ahead of Joe Burrow? If you got to start a franchise, you got to start a league, a team in a league, how many quarterbacks now compared to last year would you take over Joe Burrow still?
Well, there'd probably be like a good five or six that I could like straight away. And if I thought about it more, I could see that number getting a little bit bigger as well. Like he'd probably go top 10. He's still top 10. But like if I had to look at it, I'd think like you've got guys like Josh Allen, Mitch Trubisky. No. But like guys like Tom Brady, even like, I don't know, like, yeah, he drops down a lot. Herbert, even Derek Carr, I'd probably pick ahead of him at the moment, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, look, that's what I mean. I think it begs the question. And I think this kind of buys into what we talked about preseason. Now, we were really, really hesitant on the Bengals. They made the Super Bowl, played fantastically in the playoffs, made their way there.
Mm.
But we do believe they were overhyped and not as good as what people thought. And look, it's playing out currently. We don't know if that's going to continue. I saw Joe Burrs has deleted all his social media, whether that makes a difference or not. Yeah, he's deleted Instagram and Twitter. I think the heat's probably getting pretty hot. But yeah, Joe Burrow for me is on the sell at the moment. I'm pretty off him, which I don't mind. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, that's all the stonks for this week. So make sure you check your ASX and we'll ticker them in. But I mean, speaking of the Bengals, they have a good chance to bounce back this week. Looking ahead to week two, they do get a matchup against the Jets, although Smokin' Joe, high-flying at the moment. Can they get out of the rut?
Yeah, look, they probably win this one. This is not season-defining, but if you go 0-3, look, I don't know how many teams have made the playoffs.
You're not making it, yeah.
That's right. If you go 0-3, I do not see you making the playoffs. You'll slip up too many more times throughout the season. You'll take a couple more losses. And that's just not good enough in this league. I think 0-3, your back's against the wall way too early. So, look, I think Bengals win it. So, and I think there's too much on the line for them there. But Jets, I like them. They're really competitive. And there's a team we said, like the Dolphins, like the Lions, preseason that we like and we think are going to do better than what people anticipated.
Yeah, it's huge. Looking at our guys, we're taking on the 49ers, who I would actually be a little bit worried now with Jimmy G coming in. I think with what their defense can do, I think they're going to be able to pressure Russell. It is at home. But, I mean, as we saw on the weekend, our home just booed him and as much as they did in Seattle. So I don't think he's going to get any favours from our crowd, to be honest.
No, oh, absolutely he's not. So, look, it'll be an interesting one. But, look, 49 is a dangerous team. I still think you guys, with your defence, will get it done. But it's just so hard to tell what Russell's going to turn up.
Yeah, absolutely. And then looking at your guys, you take the trip to Foxborough, which is never an easy trip, is it?
Not an easy one. It's not too bad early in the season. I don't mind it this time of year. I think as it's not as cold, it's not as horrible. Look, we should win. Obviously, we should have won on the weekend. Most times you should win that game. Unfortunately, we didn't. That's football. I think we go in and win this one. I don't think the Patriots have looked very convincing so far this year.
Yeah, I suppose you got to think that as old man Bill, you know, you mentioned this before, he dialed up something for Trubisky last week, and he did put it on the Heats of the Steelers.
True.
He would have definitely had a keen eye over Lamar, and, you know, over the last couple of years. He did pretty well the last time you guys played them, wasn't it, as well? Like, he shut him down quite well. I think it was about a year or two ago as well.
Yeah, I think we played him in the pissing rain, and, yeah, look, we struggled. I can't really blame the elements. Everyone's playing in the same conditions, but, yeah. Yeah, they'll obviously have something for us, and it'll be curious to see. But look, Lamar's in pretty good shape at the moment. He's playing pretty well. He's playing with a lot of confidence. So I'm not overly concerned, but it's still a tough game. It's never one to not worry about. Now, there's some big games this week. Bills, Dolphins.
Oh, stop it. I'm keen for that. That'll be good.
It's just shit at the moment, I suppose, for us. Getting up at 3 a.m. just isn't a feasible option. 5 a.m. still a rough one. So, look, I think Bills still probably win that. Dolphins, I think, they're there, but they're not quite at that level.
Yeah, well, I think, as you sort of mentioned, with the defense, you can see what the Bills are going to do. They're just going to cut those poor blokes up. And I think the Bills' defense has shown that they're able to slot down as well. So, definitely the Dolphins are going to take it to them. And this could be like, this is obviously going to push back for like tiebreakers and things like that towards the end of the season, I think could come into effect. So this is one that you want to win early on so that you basically have your setup quite well to go into the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Look, I think the Bills, people are talking about them going 17-0. I think it's very early to go blow your top that early. They're not, I don't know if that's going to happen. It's a possibility. But, yeah, not for me. Now, look, a couple more games we like. Rams-Cardinals.
Yeah.
There is also, I know, jumping ahead here, Giants-Cowboys. Now, could the Giants go 3-0?
I actually think they could, to be honest. Like, you look at what the Cowboys have been doing, and they managed to squeeze their way past Bengals. But I think, like, I don't know what's been going on with the Giants. They've basically just been, like, the silent assassins at the moment, really. You don't hear much about – obviously – Saquon could be back. If this is his third game in the row, I'm happy to say Saquon is back.
Wow, but he's gay. What did he have on the weekend? It was pretty poor, I think. Yeah, let me just
pretty sure he's leading the rushing, isn't he?
He is leading the rushing, but I believe that is because of his first week. Maybe I looked too early into his score like halfway through the game.
Yeah.
But I don't think he had a massive game. But looking
at that and then looking at like, well, you're not hearing about Daniel Jones. And I think when you don't hear about Daniel Jones, that's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing because normally when you hear about him, it's because he throws interceptions and he ruins the game.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. We're not hearing anything. He's not doing anything bad. He's not doing anything great. They're winning just. They could come unstuck this week. I think Cowboys still are pretty all right. Like, I actually don't think they're that bad. Saquon finished on 21 carries for 72 yards. I think he started pretty poorly, but obviously got some yardage towards the end. Defense for them, I think, is what the key is. Now, obviously, I've talked about before, Wink Martindale, the old Ravens defensive coordinator, just gives some different looks. Like his packages that he runs, it just makes teams really panic, and there's a lot of rushes, a lot of people just going at the ball player. Like, it's a scary way to play because if you get beaten, you can get beaten pretty convincingly, but live and die by it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, well, I think you're seeing a lot of those more teams where they're dialing up that sort of stuff and they're basically just trusting their guys. They're living by it, as you said, but they're rushing it enough that they're pressuring these guys and they're shooting their pants. They're not able to figure out what to do going forward. And basically it's just coming to them. And that's what we're sort of seeing, especially in these early weeks where teams are not as gelled together. I think as we start getting along and people start getting used to it and maybe starting getting to the rhythm of the season, it might be a bit less, but for the meantime, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Oh, I completely agree. And I think I'm happy with how they're going. I'm excited for them. There's one that's probably sitting there that I reckon could be a pretty decent game. Lions-Vikings. Now, Vikings, they got beaten pretty convincingly by Philly. I think Philly were really good. I think Kirk struggled. I don't think he struggles again at home. Who do you like in this one?
Look, probably just giving the home ground advantage to the Vikings, and I believe they bounce back. But if this was at the Lions, if this was in Detroit, I would quite easily be swayed and go the home team. I think home team gets advantage here.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. But, yeah, I think it's hard to go past the Vikings, and I think we'll have to stick with that.
Yeah, and then finally, probably looking at the last meeting between the two, surely, Packers v. Bucks, Rodgers v. Brady one last time, pending playoffs, but assuming this is the last one.
Yeah, it's always hard. I think you see, like, we always can always go back to, oh, look how Packers played in week one. But sometimes that just is just an anomaly for them. They end up turning up and just fucking trouncing teams for weeks.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
I think this is probably a bridge too far with the defense. Now, offense could struggle a little, like we talked about with the wide receivers of old for the Bucs. Now, that's where they could struggle a little bit because the secondary is good for the Packers now. I'm going to struggle to go past the Bucs on this, but Aaron could just come out and do it and just, again, prove people wrong as he always does.
But I think he always does. And you can see they're leaning a lot more because on their running backs and Jones because they're just, like, what are they running with? Sammy Watkins is probably their best receiver at the moment. Like, Alan Lazard's not doing anything.
No, Lazard's not fantastic. Yeah, no. Watkins, Dubes, that guy, Christian Watson. Like, no big names.
Yeah, so basically leaning on Jones. So, as you sort of said, the old guys, wide receiver room versus no wide receiver room, I think probably gets the Bucks done.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, Jones, I think if we're looking at any bets going forward, surely he's a lock most weeks for an anytime touchdown.
Yeah, they love using him, don't they? Just crashing packs.
Fantastic. I mean, they have AJ Dillon, they still don't use him. Aaron Jones in the backfield as well, pretty decent. So, yeah, look, that's this week we're going to have a look at. So, we might have some bets for you this week. We're struggling at the moment. We're trying to win ourselves some some money so we can buy a new podcast setup. So hopefully that comes to fruition. But look, we've actually got an exciting week of college football coming up this week.
Yeah, huge. Couple of ones. Ones that's just caught my eye for starters. Clemson v Wake Forest, 2-3-0 teams. Conference rivals, correct as well. I think Wake Forest, at Wake Forest home, they could actually come and upset the Tigers.
I like them. I would happily take Wake Forest for the win this week. Now, Clemson, obviously, defense is lights out. We don't know how the offense is still firing. I'd back Wake Forest here. I don't know what the line is. I don't know who's the favorite, but I'd take them head-to-head.
You'd probably lean towards – it'd probably be Clemson because they're sitting at – they're ranked fifth overall. Like, even – like, I don't think DJ's that – DJ's rubbish. And they're still ranked fifth. I mean, your top four is, like, what, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio, and someone else?
Alabama, Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
Michigan, yeah. So, and look, it's a funny thing. Do teams sometimes get ranked on the college itself, like who they actually are as a program?
100% early days,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Wake Forest look pretty freaking good. There's a couple other teams that look really good. But, yeah, Clemson, I guess this will be the biggest test for them early in the season. I don't know. I'm still going to stick with Wake Forest. I'm just going to look at the odds here for it while we keep going. But, yeah, who would you lean on there?
Wake Forest, easily. I like what the Deacon Demons are doing at the moment. But we could be wrong. What about looking at another big top 25 matchup? Your boys, Florida v. Tennessee. And I know you've gotten onto the Florida because their quarterback, however, has been playing well. Well, didn't play well last week, but has, interestingly, not actually thrown a touchdown yet for all the hype that he's been getting.
Yeah, that's right. Correct. And that's a funny one I didn't know because people really loved him after that first week. And he showed a lot of athleticism and looked fantastic off the ball, like once he got out of the pocket. But it's funny because I've been looking at a lot of like forums and guys talking about from the Southeastern Conference and saying this massive rivalry. And Florida fans are saying this isn't a rivalry anymore. We've won one of the last 11. Like, Tennessee really struggled. Like, I mean, our program really hit the skids. It's finally kind of time to say we are back in the conversation of a top-tier school and we're back. We're recruiting well. We've got players coming in. Our defense is number one in the SEC, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's in the nation. I know definitely in the SEC. But, like, this is massive for us. I think this weekend is huge. I think a home game, checkerboard, we've got ESPN College Game Day there, top 20 matchup. Now, this will be our second-ranked win of the year. Obviously, will put us in the top 10 if we win this week.
Yeah, I think that puts you in good stead. And I think it just, as you sort of said, you've had all the recruits coming and it's been building. And now this is the time to actually start. Once you start getting these ranked wins, this is where you put those off paper onto the real world. And that's what we want to start seeing from Tennessee because they are a big football school and we love it when they play well.
Well, that's the thing. I think college football is in a better place when those sort of blue chip programs are going well. Same as college basketball. Like, if Kansas and Kentucky and Duke are no good, like, it's kind of just a weird feeling. I know it's cool seeing different smaller schools go good, but yeah, I think, I mean, looking at the betting here, we're $1.24. I'd almost take it. Like, the line is currently set at 10.5. I'd almost
that's money for jam.
That's right, yeah. Look, Wake Forest are 339 to win. You can take Tennessee with the line. You've got yourself a sneaky little multi there. Geez, that's some money going into the weekend. We can have a think about that one. Is there any other college matches while we're here after we've seen Tennessee make the top 10 after this?
Well, we probably won't make the top 5 after beating an unranked Oregon State, but they are 3-0, so that'll be on our way to another big Pac-12 championship. Very happy with that one. Another week with Caleb Williams just absolutely rolling in touchdowns. Like, this man, so good.
Oh, look, you guys are looking fantastic. Jordan Addison's unbelievable. I love him. I'm really upset we couldn't pick someone up like him. Who has Oregon State beat, though, to be fair? Like, they're 3-0, Boise, Fresno State, Just, and Montana State. Okay, so there's nothing really to write home about. I saw their record and thought, like, that's actually not too bad in terms of who you're playing. But, yeah, it doesn't actually look fantastic for them.
Nah.
Just going through the rest of the schedule here. Oklahoma plays Kansas State. Kansas State aren't too bad. Vanderbilt, Alabama. Now, Vanderbilt have 3 wins. They've already broken their win-loss record, like, prediction for the year. I think they were over under 2.5, same as Kansas.
Wow.
Two teams that had really low win predictions for the year, and they've already blown them out for betters. So that's fantastic. DeBama just wiped the floor with them. Vanderbilt's still not very good.
Yeah, they can absolutely cream the poor blokes at their home grade, too. They got to go over to Tuscaloosa and get absolutely their ass handed to them. What do they play? Northern Illinois. They lost to Wake Forest by about 20, and they beat Elon Musk's university. Elon.
good old Elon Musk University. Yeah, look, I actually don't know where the fuck that is. I think it might be in Georgia, to be honest. But, yeah, look, there's nothing else really jumping out for me there. Maryland play Michigan. They're both undefeated.
Probably Arkansas, Texas A&M, but I don't know. The Aggies, I don't rate the Aggies that much at the moment. Like,
I don't rate the Aggies that much either, but I think Arkansas, I did read their secondary is giving up probably one of the most, I think it's one of the worst secondaries, or they're giving up a stupid amount of yards per game. So that'll make it very, very interesting. So look, there's some things that could shake up the college football world this weekend. Tennessee going into the top 10 would be one of them. And you guys just pushing your case for a top 4, top 5 spot.
Yeah, we love that. Bringing the Pac-12 back before we leave it in tatters is going to be perfect. But that's another week of footy. It's been really enjoyable. We're hoping that we three steps up again, but I don't know how we would, because otherwise I'm going to rip a hole in my pants if it does. Like, Jesus, there's just so much blood.
Oh, ridiculous amounts. Like, I was pretty deflated after our loss, but I was still like, it was still a fun game to watch, and it was actually very exciting. The fact we lost was really frustrating, but look, we were in the game. We played really well for the most part, and it was still enjoyable watching other comebacks and other games. I don't know. This season has had just some magic moments so far this year.
Yeah, we're getting stuck into it again. But that's all from us here this week. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.